There's a war brewing, and it isn't with the foreign enemy. It's between the White House and the media.
I think it would be a good thing if you were to say right here at this briefing that the press, the people who are gathered in this room right now, doing their jobs every day, asking questions of officials like the ones you brought forward earlier, are not the enemy of the people. I think we deserve that.
I think the president has made his position known.
CNN's Jim Acosta posing a question to White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She gave a laundry list of the ways in which people in the administration have been under attack themselves.
The media continues to ratchet up the verbal assault against the president and everyone in this administration. And certainly we have a role to play, but the media has a role to play for the discourse in this country as well.
And sir, if you don't mind, if I may follow up, excuse me, you did not say in the course of those remarks that you just made that the press is not the enemy of the people.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Amy Walter, and it's become a popular refrain from the White House briefing room to President Trump's rallies, which nearly 2 years after the election remain a regular part of his routine.
They can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
The president was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, ostensibly to campaign for Lou Barletta. Barletta's attempting to unseat Democratic Senator Bob Casey. But he spent much of his time on this familiar topic.
Whatever happened to fair press? Whatever happened to honest reporting?
So is the battle between the president and the press really ratcheted up? Or is it just the continuation of a familiar theme?
It is so much, I wouldn't say scripted so much as it really feels like everybody kind of knows the cues and they're going to see a band from 20 years ago play the hits, basically. And if you actually listen to them, you can see Trump kind of hitting these same notes that he's been hitting for a very long time and everybody kind of reacting in the same way. There's a real kind of static quality to it.
That's Charles Homans, political editor for the New York Times Magazine. And he says Trump simply hasn't stopped campaigning.
When you're watching it on YouTube or on CNN or whatever, it feels less like a kind of entertainment spectacle than I think it feels like when you're actually in the room with them. And it is often very difficult to figure out how seriously to take anything that's happening really at these rallies because of that.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to point to when it seems like things, at least from the outside perspective, is that things have ratcheted up the screaming and the pointing out certain media persons. Is there a feeling that the media now is more unsafe than previously?
I mean, yeah, I think it's alarming now, but I think it's been relatively alarming ever since the presidential campaign. And I think any reporter who was on the campaign trail with Trump day in and day out would tell you that this isn't really that different from what they were experiencing. I would say probably the more accurate way of thinking about it is that it kind of ratchets up or down depending on what's in the news from week to week. I mean, one thing that did strike me as interesting is how different the experience is if you're in the physical media pen, which is this sort of, barriered off space in the middle of the venue usually, or if you're kind of out in the crowd. If you're in the pen, you're there basically as a prop. I mean, you're there as a sort of hate object for the rally. But if you're out in the crowd, it's a very different interaction with people. People are often fairly friendly and chatty and in the way that people often are with political reporters. And you kind of realize when you're in that environment how much work this pen is doing and how much of these politics is about creating an enemy and how kind of fluid the boundaries around the edges of that enemy are and how much these politics really need that enemy to work.
And how much of that is not simply being about you as a journalist sitting in that pen, but the institution of journalism really is in that pen.
I think it's the institution. I mean, I think that you're there as the personification of this thing that Trump perceives and Trump supporters perceive as, standing in the way of his greatness as a president. Often the atmosphere is sort of like if you were to wear a Yankees cap into Fenway Stadium. And to the extent that there's anything conscious about sort of the way that Trump speaks at these rallies, you never really lose by campaigning against the media. Nobody really likes, quote unquote, the media.
Right. And that to me is the other piece of this, which is it's also brought a lot of attention on individual reporters specifically. And we saw it this week, CNN, Jim Acosta.
And Wolf, just to give you a sense as to what's happening right now, you can hear there is a chorus of boos and other chants from this Trump crowd here in Tampa, Florida. They're saying things like CNN sucks, go home, and fake news. Wolf, obviously, all of those things are false. We're staying right here. We're going to do our job and report on this rally to all of our viewers here tonight, Wolf.
Then took that moment into the briefing room of the White House, right? So it went from this was something that happened at a campaign rally to going into the White House briefing room, where then Jim Acosta, instead of reporting about the news, was reporting basically on himself. There's a way in which the media hasn't quite figured out how to cover something when they're the center of that story. And are they making it even more difficult by turning to themselves and saying, well, this is about me, and I want you to answer to me?
Yeah, I mean, I think that points to a real problem. And again, part of the reason why this whole tactic works is that reporters are sort of at their least sympathetic, I think, to most people when they're self-righteously defending the rights of reporters to be reporters. I mean, one thing that I think that everybody could do is sort of acknowledge a little more openly how much of this is theater. You know, a lot of the same reporters that Trump is calling out at these rallies are people that he has often talked to, you know, and is still fairly, you know, I think has often been fairly available to as president. And how much of this is sort of theater, you know, even at the expense of the rally goers who may or may not know that.
Are you worried as a journalist that the damage being done to the image of journalism writ large, the institution of the media, is permanent and it's going to go beyond just this presidency and these rallies?
You know, I do think that's an interesting and worrisome question. I think that you can see in a lot of what Trump does sort of instinctively a blueprint for what future presidents will do. And, you know, again, he uses it because it works. And this is something that's really clear at the rallies when you watch the sort of warm-up speakers, who are often state or local politicians who don't really have any of Trump's charisma, but sort of know what works also from watching Trump. And they, if anything, are, you know, more of their speeches are sort of are often about the media than Trump's even. And so you can kind of see in those speeches how this is going to play out for, you know, probably a large chunk of the future of politics on the right.
Charles Homans, thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Thanks for having me.